This is an ABC podcast.
This is Nijin Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinidar Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Kam na Māori to our Kiripas audience and welcome everyone to Nijin Footy, the best spot for Pacifica news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Tinirau Aorona, and for the first time since late July, the boys are back together on a Monday, fresh off a week from Papua New Guinea. I'd like to welcome back the man of the Pacific, Sammy Wykes. Sammy, it's good to see you again, my friend.
How you going, mate? Sam, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, mate.
Nice to meet you. Any gifts? Plenty of gifts, just me being here today.
Oh, I'm back since July, mate.
That's the biggest gift I can give to you,
you know,
is my presence.
When you go travelling, you have to bring back something.
Sorry, bro. I've got a billum for you, but I forgot it at home. The billum, the bag that the PNG people wear around their neck.
Oh, yeah.
I've actually got one for you, but I forgot it at home. So I got given two, but what a fantastic trip PNG was, bro. Honestly, one of the best ones I've done so far.
We'll get to that when we get to moment of the week, and we'll speak about your highlights, but it's good to see you come with a bit of a tan as well.
Yep, nice and tanned up, ready to go. That hot sun over there in PNG, I was sun-kissed, that's for sure, but we do have a big show planned. NRL, is this the last round, is it, coming up?
Last round coming up.
I can't believe we're already here, semi-finals, footy. Unbelievable.
It's gone very, very fast, and we're up. We're actually in for an exciting end of the season this weekend coming. There's a few games that I want to mention because we need to see who finishes in the eighth place on the NRL ladder.
Still spots up for grab. You'll go through that with the NRL. I'll talk about Pacific Nations Cup with Tonga going down to Fiji.
Yeah, they're flying Fijis.
I believe there was some lopsided, predictions on Friday.
Your man Nems, the money over there. He was confident.
He was worried, was he?
He was very worried, and he didn't want to say it on air, but I believe that he thought Tonga was going to come away off the win because they were flying under the radar. And then you say off air this morning that they rested a few players.
No, they had a few injured. Big Thumbo Funa was injured. But anyway, we'll go through that with rugby. And, of course, we'll have Shelley Long to cover the NRLW news and some of the Women's Rugby World Cup that is currently underway. And I'm going to drop some tock pissing on her as well to see if she knows what I'm saying.
Well, you can bring that tock pissing to our guest of the show. And, man, it's, you know, those front rowers that had bring impact. I know we know back fence Spencer Lenu. Well, we're bringing the NRLW forward prop that plays for the North Queensland Cowboys and also represent the PNG Orchids, Esa Barnu. She'll be joining us this today on Nijin Footy. She's also Torres Strait Islander and grew up in the far North Queensland in a place called Tully, just south of Cairns.
Moment of the week.
All right, let's dive deep into this journey of yours, Sammy. This experience, you go over to Papua New Guinea, you get named the man of the Pacific.
Who named me that?
All the locals. And Michael Chell.
He's a big deal over there, Michael Chow from Nija Daily.
He called you the big deal.
No, he's the big deal. I was riding shotgun with him. But we had the pleasure of touring together over there with that Pacific Sports Show. And I must say, PNG, what a beautiful country, beautiful people. Absolutely love my time over there. And we're over there because of the 50th anniversary of independence is coming up for PNG. And someone that had no real understanding or no knowledge around PNG history and what it meant, I could really tell from being there how important it was.
Yeah, what was something that shocked you or caught your eye or was like, wow, like that is special or really caught your attention?
How big PNG was compared to all the other Pacific islands. I've been to Tonga, been to Marshall Islands, that was small, Palau, but when I went there, I was like, oh, wow, you've actually got more than two lanes, one street. Like it is actually a big place. And so many people there as well. So I just thought, wow, this is it's big compared to all the other Pacific islands. And the obvious one, rugby league. Like, it is honestly like going to Fiji and rugby union's the religion over there for the sport. PNG, where our rugby league is a big deal there.
Yeah, you posted or you sent us some videos of you watching some local rugby league footy games. What was that like?
Oh, that was, for me, that's the moment of the week. So we went to Biruni, which is a place just outside of Port Moresby. And, you know, where the Cook Island team did that song with the village there?
Yep.
That was in Hanuabara. So it's about another 5-10 minutes past there. And I got to witness the field firsthand, what it's like to play on that field. I didn't play, but...
Was it hard?
Oh, mate.
It looked hard.
So hard. Rocks, bottle caps, divots everywhere on the field, and all the kids, they're just smiling, happy as to play on that top of field.
What about that kid that you sent when he ran to the corner, dived, scored the try, landed on the gravel and rocks and everything else, and
gets
then
back up.
Gets back up, and they all just jump on him, cheering. On him.
They absolutely loved it. And we were there for the Street Smart Initiative program. It's there's a guy named Mozart Joseph Gombo and former Super Rugby player Aidan Toa. You know, they've got this Street Smart Initiative where to be in that team, you have to go to school. So, like, rugby league's the vehicle. And Brothers Rugby Club up in Brisbane donated some jerseys, donated some footies, and it was just heartwarming to do the jersey presentation with them and just watch them play footy.
Here's a question for you. Do you see the NRL PNG team being successful over there?
I asked Paul Aiton. I asked two other Hunters players. You know, we're talking about the 50-year anniversary. Okay, in the next 50 years, because rugby league's played a massive part in their history, can we see the PNG side win the NRL Premiership? They did not hesitate and say 100%. Yes, and seeing what's happening over there, some pathways, opportunities, you know, guys like Joe Grimer and Mark Mom, there's so many people over there, all guns blazing, ready to make this work and happen. I reckon it will be a success.
How good.
So really looking forward to it. And I can't wait for when round one or whenever their first home game will be over there. It's going to erupt. It will absolutely erupt. So there you have it. That's my moment of the week, and I can't wait to get back to PNG.
Hello, everyone. This is Keith Peters here, and you're listening to Nesian Footy.
All right, T, it's the business end of rugby league, and obviously there's still one more round to go. But what were your thoughts on last weekend's games?
The big moment was the Canberra Raiders crowned minor premiers for 2025. Now, if you think back to the start of the year, I gave some predictions. You gave your predictions.
I think I said the Dolphins were going to come last.
I think I had I can't remember.
I think we both said the Dolphins last.
Well, I do remember.
Last.
I had the Raiders at 15th place.
Did you?
15th place. They finished last year, 2024, at 9th place, and mate, they've just climbed to the top of the ladder with one round to go. They wrap up the minor premiers for this year after beating the Tigers 24-10. What's your thoughts on how they've travelled this year so far?
Well, halfway through the season, I remember you spoke about their style of play.
Yep.
They're probably going to run out of steam at some point, the way that they play, but obviously they've done an amazing job, and all their young players have just really stood up. They're full of energy, full of beans. And then the old bulls that are in the side, like Josh Papali'i, they've just done an amazing job there with their leadership to keep a lid on it. But at the same time, you know, they've been working hard to be where they are right now.
Well, that's what that word you said there, young. I mentioned to an experienced NRL player about, you know, can they hold their intensity throughout the whole season and into the finals? That was what he said. He said they've got the youth there to back it up, but they've also got the experience in the right places. And you look at some of those moments this year, they've had Vegas, they beat the Warriors 32-8 to kick off their season. No one sees that coming. Josh Papali'i, most capped Raider ever. Big milestone moment, and then that crazy golden point win over the Panthers in round 25. Now crowned minor premiers. I think the language, like the words in that camp would be, job not done yet. you know, let's go on and take that confidence and momentum into the finals. But, you know, it's some good acknowledgement and they deserve to take that minor premiers this year.
And he's wrapped up only 35 metres out. He'll play it back. Left-hand side of the field to Young with a good run. And Hudson Young gets his arm free. Gets the pass away to Tapani. Tapani through a half gap. Then it goes to Strange. Strange is through. Try! Raiders! And that is the minor premiership. 10 seconds remaining. The Raiders to secure the minor premiership. For the first time since 1990, as the crowd erupts in front of us. Sheer emotion. The Raiders win 24 points to 10 over the West Tigers. They've secured the minor premiership for the first time since 1990. And they'll be presented with the JJ Gilton and Shield in just a moment. Let me tell you, there are people crying in front of us. This is a big moment for Canberra.
You know, with the minor premiership?
Yep.
Might be a weird question, but do you reckon is it pointless? Do you still need it in this day and age?
You get prize money.
Oh, you get prize money for it?
Yeah, the club gets prize money, and I'd say that a portion of that would go to the players.
Okay. I was just thinking, because, you know, because the job's not done, minor premiers, which one do you want to win? The premiership or minor premiers?
$200,000.
Okay, so it's not it's not pointless then.
No. And it's not like...
yeah, fair enough.
There's something, what's like the EPL, like those football competitions, when they finish on top of the ladder, they win the premiership.
Yeah, first past the post.
It still keeps that excitement, keeps all the fans engaged, because anything could happen, especially when you've got some of these teams in that top eight that could run, bring it home in the end.
I've changed my mind now. Yep, 200K is sweet.
But the top three are locked in. So Raiders win the minor premiership. The Storm have finished second and the Bulldogs third. Now, fourth spot can go to either the Broncos, who play the Storm, Sharks, who play the Bulldogs, or the Warriors, who play Manly. Now, here's where things get interesting. So, on the weekend, the Roosters had to fight to keep their season alive, keep their a strong chance of finishing eight. They beat the Storm 40-10 in Melbourne. Think about this. They have to go to Melbourne, play in Melbourne, play, and it's their coaches, Craig Bellamy's, 600th NRL game. And you know what Melbourne Storm are like when it comes to their milestones, but a game of two halves. So Storm get out to a good start. Sean Blaw, one of their try scorers, one of two try scorers in the first half. So they go into halftime 10-0. The second half of footy, in 40 minutes, the Roosters score seven tries. Siwa Wong scoring one, Rob Toya scoring one, and four for your man, Mark Nawanganitewase.
Watson on their second last play. Savala to Smith. Tip wide here from Toya. Nawanganitewase, who just dared Grant Anderson and wrong-footed him. Anderson had nowhere to go. But Marky Mark scores his fourth try in this second half of footy to put this game to bed. What a second half. And what a player. Mark Nawanganitewase.
What an athlete.
He's having a field day in rugby league.
He is too easy for him.
He
is one of the superstars. But what are your thoughts on Mark this year, and where do you think he lands international when it comes to international time at the end of the season?
Yeah, but having played with Mark, I thought the nature of rugby league, I was interested to see how he would go with the long season, whereas Super Rugby, short season, you get a break, you go into a test season, a bit of a break, so it's broken up, whereas rugby league, it is a constant grind. And I was just interested to see if he could keep that intensity throughout the whole year. He's gotten better.
As the season goes.
As the season's gone on. So I've just been so impressed with how he's handled it, the way he's gone about his business, and he's just gone from strength to strength each week.
So when you think about his international eligibility, Is he going to Bati Fiji, or is he going to Australia Kangaroos?
Don't rule out Italy.
Italy
as well. Has he got Italian heritage? So are they in the World Cup?
Good question.
I'm pretty sure they are. I know Tedesco's played for them in the past, but I don't know. It's a big question. Big question. I think when you told me around the rules that they could go on this Ashes tour and still make themselves available for
Fiji next year,
yep. I reckon that can play a part in the decision making.
Yep.
So I think you might play Australia, then World Cup, play for Fiji.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. So the Roosters, they are at eighth place. One win ahead of Dolphins and Manly. The Roosters, they play South Sydney Rabbitohs this Friday night. If they win, they lock in the eighth place. Now Manly and Dolphins can't catch them. Now if they lose, the Dolphins have to play the Raiders. One beat the Raiders. And then at the moment, they've got a minus 15 point difference. So whatever they lose by, Dolphins have to, you know, score more points to make up for that 15 points. Then they'll finish eighth. Manly's the other team who actually played before the Roosters. So they play the Warriors. They're minus 82 points to the Roosters. So they'd have to score a lot of points and hope that Roosters lose by a lot against South Sydney Rabbitohs. The one thing that the Dolphins have, though, when they do play the Raiders, do the Raiders rest their players because they've already got the minor premiers. So at the moment, the Roosters are in the box seat, but they could wrap it all up after they play the Rabbitohs. Remember, you can hear every NRL game live on ABC Radio Australia. The PNG Hunters in the Queensland Cup needed to win their last game to lock themselves into the finals, and they clinched the spot with a dominant win, 40-10 over the Northern Pride. Congrats to the PNG Hunters. Sonny Wabor scored a hat-trick to lock in the win and the finals for the Hunters. They finished seventh, so they will play the Redcliffe Dolphins on Saturday night in an elimination final. Earlier this year, they lost 50-16 to the Dolphins, so they'll have to turn things around massively this weekend. In the New South Wales jersey flag, the Cavite Silk Tails final game of 2025, they had a draw to the Bunnies in Lautoka, thanks to a try scorer in the 76th minute to Sevenaya Duvotos and a conversion by Ioane Mainalovo. Congrats on the season to the Silk Tails. 4 wins and a draw, which is a huge improvement to last season when they didn't even get one win. So let's shift over to rugby union, Sammy.
Yes, thank you, T. Huge improvements from the Silk Tails. I love that. And there's no coincidence that I went to Hunters training during the week and they had a massive win as well. So I recognize the difference. I'll head up there again to make sure they get the job done.
You just want to go back to that cafe.
Yeah, I do. Oh, your best meat pie.
What's the cafe?
The Edge in just outside of Port Moresby there. Beautiful, beautiful meat pie. I had 12 of them while I was there. So I'll be back for sure. But let's get to rugby union. And it was Fiji who won comfortably 32-10 over Tonga in round 2 of the Pacific Nations Cup. And this was actually Fiji's first game because they had the bye in round 1. And let me tell you right now, if Fiji... I would say they are the best team in the world when it comes to playing off an edge or playing down an edge. That's where they simply won this game.
The short sides or
just going to get into the edge. They know how to hold their feet, get the ball to their strike players like Longani Masi, one of the wingers, and Ravovo, the other wingers. They had a field day down the left and right hand sides of the field because they were just too quick, too strong. And they had back rowers on the inside and outside of them. So they were able to get those guys to break some tackles and get the offloads away, or they'll just get in the ball straight to the wingers or kicking across field. And they just had a field day down there. And what that does for the defense, the reason why they can go side to side really easy. So if you make a breakdown on one sideline, Tonga's defense, they were sort of crabbing.
All coming in.
So they're crabbing. So when they by the time they look up and try and get the defensive line set, they are already short numbers because they all crab towards the ruck and then they go back the other side and they skin them down the other end. So defensively, they just had Tonga in all sorts out there.
I love that style of play where you move the ball, which moves the defense,
yep.
Especially if you've got a big, powerful pack. And you know, laterally, when they have to move to one ruck, to the other ruck, to the other ruck, eventually you'll find some space. So
That's exactly what happened. So you can't come off the line square in defence because your hips are always facing towards the sidelines. And when you show Fijians your inside shoulder like that or you can't get your tracking right to make a good tackle, their footwork is just too good. So although that was impressive from Fiji, and I guess the layers that Mick Byrne has brought to this side is they can go from structured to unstructured really, really easy now. You know, so from structured play, I really love that they had chances in around their more T to be able to drive Tonga backwards a couple of times, and they had nice peel plays off their mauls as well.
Is it like rugby league where you have to earn the right? Once you've earned the right, then you go and attack and take those opportunities, and they've found that right balance where, you know, let's play structured rugby union, but when it's time to move, when it's time to score points, we know how to do that?
Yeah, it would be for Fiji, especially for the way the Fijians love to play, because they do go side to side, and that's where they want to play. That's their strength. They do have to earn the right to go through them to create the space on those edges. So that's what Mick Byrne has brought to this side.
When they go side to side, it's low risk, though, eh? Like your early balls, you're not playing at the line.
Yeah. Everyone holds their feet nicely. Yeah. It's just a matter of their ball security. So that was probably the work on for them, for Fiji. So even though they were making a lot of line breaks and stuff, it was actually still only 17-10 at half time. So they'll be probably disappointed with the amount of
execution.
Yeah, the execution. So the amount of ball that they had, the amount of meters that they made. Like, I think in the first 20 minutes, Fiji had 250 post-contact meters, you know, down the edges, and that compared to Tonga's 35 meters. So they made all those meters, but they probably didn't score enough from those opportunities. And for Tonga, I'd honestly say, even though they were, you know, even though it was 32-10, they've improved so much from last year. I reckon that scoreline would have been 50 last year. So I know they'll be disappointed with the loss, but I just think the way that they hung tough in there, the way that they still scrambled and showed up for each other to keep fighting right to the end. They had a disallowed try right in the end. I thought that's a massive improvement from last year, because I think they started to fade away when the game wasn't going their way. So for Tonga, they have the week off this week. They will regroup and go again. But for Fiji, they'll play Samoa in New Zealand this week. And with Japan winning in Pool B, they'll probably sit on top of that pool, and Fiji will be most likely the winners in Pool A, and they'll come together to see who will be the Pacific Nations champions for 2025. But Fiji, watch out. They are the favourites.
Whose home game is it in New Zealand?
It'll be Samoa's home game.
Okay.
Yeah, I think their ground's getting fixed up in Samoa. So it's going to be a big one for Samoa, because they haven't had a good run of games this year.
Beautiful.
So there you have it. See, that's a bit of rugby union in a nutshell before we get to Shelley Long,
who will cover the Women's World Cup that's currently happening. Let's get straight to her right now with the long story short.
The long story short with Shelley Long.
Every Monday, we're joined by our PNG Orchid star and NRLW player, Shelley Long. Shelley, welcome back to another episode of Nijin Footy Mondays. And I just want to start by the Cowboys locked in for the finals.
Straight off the bat.
Oh, it feels exciting. It's great news for the Cowboys. And I think, you know, after the last couple of years, there's definitely been a lot of progression in there. And I think Ricky Henry is doing a great job being head coach and really driving success for the girls at the moment.
Bit of feeling in that game too over the weekend. I saw China Polata just get up and give the crying,
What did she do? Did she do a late hit on the kicker?
On the kicker, yeah, it was a little bit. Oh, it was probably simultaneous, same time.
I would say the fact she didn't use her arms would have been the reason why.
Oh, true, yeah, she didn't rap.
Cool moment.
A bit of feeling there.
Bit of character. Now, I know they lost to the Roosters 30-0, but which player stood out for you?
Yeah, so that game was a very rough game for the Cowboys. They, like you said, T, they did lose 30-0, but I don't think the score really reflected the type of game that it was. The first half was definitely a strong one and something that would reflect footy finals, actually. And a lot of the Roosters players said something very similar. So it was in that last 16 minutes where the Roosters, they just dominated. And unfortunately, the Cowboys weren't able to match them. But for me, I absolutely loved watching Amber Hall out there. She was incredible for the Roosters. Definitely a strong body and someone that's very hard to contain close to the try line. But also for me, someone that stood out was Eliza Lopumoa. She was great, particularly off the back fence. She made a lot of strong runs, and you could tell that the Roosters' game plan was to get at the 4 and 3 man, and she did that really well, and it really made the Cowboys' defense tighten up but also struggle to then flip flip their players to the short side. So she was outstanding in that game.
Yeah, I think they're gonna be hard to beat in the finals. The Roosters,
Broncos, top two. Can they? Anyone else?
The Cowboys will definitely take some lessons from that one, and you know, maybe be able to turn things around. You never know. It's always a new game. But there was also a big scoreline with the Broncos and the Bulldogs, 44-0. Now, what stood out for you in this game?
Oh, I think for me, the Broncos are just showing why they are so dominant in the competition. 44 points on a team, particularly like the Bulldogs, that do have the experience behind them. And whilst Braden Williami, the coach, is quite new to the game, he's definitely brought a lot of confidence to that team. But unfortunately, they just weren't able to match the energy that the Broncos had. Tamika Upton, she has been dominant in the fullback position for such a long time. And in that game, she really stood up and said, give me the ball. Let's see what we can do here. They just across the ballpark. I don't know. I'm looking at a potential grand final here between the Broncos and the Roosters.
Whoa. Don't knock off your Cowboys already.
Well, that's all I was saying. It just seems like it's a two-horse race here with the Roosters and the Broncos. You know, going to be top two, but with the rest of the ladder, how is that looking?
So at the moment, the Cowboys, they have made the finals along with the Broncos. So at the moment, we've definitely got locked in there, the Broncos, Roosters and the Cowboys.
Sharkies as well are in there.
Yes, but the other teams that still need to win a few more games will be the Titans and the Newcastle Knights. So at the moment, they're sitting at fifth and sixth. They'll need to continue to win to remain in the finals.
Before we move on to rugby, did you actually hear this week they announced the new Cook Islands women's head coach?
Yes, I did. Sorry, guys.
How could you forget?
You're good. I got you. Just a little offload.
T's done some work this week.
There you go.
It is the Warriors coach, Ron Griffin.
So he was the old Newcastle Knights coach, won two premierships, and now the current Warriors NRLW coach. And he is now appointed the Cook Islands women's head coach.
Has your mum still got a start there?
Man, mum's always got to start, whether it's filling the water bottles, manager, she'll find a way. Okay. But thought I'd just add that in there before we get to rugby union.
Well, and I might just quickly add on the top of that, we haven't actually announced it on here, but Meg Ward was also appointed the new Tongan coach with Vanessa Foliaki as the assistant coach. So there has been a lot of changes to the coaching staff ahead of the Pacific Championships that will come up at the end of the year. So that's super exciting news for all of those nations. We can't wait to see how that looks.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. Rugby World Cup. Here we go.
So I'll start off with Manosina Samoa. They unfortunately went down 92-3 to England. We all knew that was going to be a really tough challenge for Manosina, but they put 3 points on England. And for me, and particularly probably for all of the fans watching at home, that is definitely a special moment for them to be able to put their first points on the board in such a long time as well, particularly against one of the best teams in the women's rugby space. So for them, that was an exciting part.
Yeah, obviously the scoreline, 92-3, it's a massive scoreline, and obviously they'll look at that part and try and improve that scoreline in their next game. But some wonderful scenes at the end of the game as well, with England and Samoa coming together. There was a bit of dancing happening in the middle of the field. I know that the Samoa girls, yeah, they were pretty excited to be a part of this campaign. 10 years ago, they were last part of the World Cup, and to see them out there celebrating, obviously they'll improve, but they were wonderful scenes out there celebrating with England.
Yeah, and I think another really special moment for them was that Ruby Tui actually put on a Manosina jersey in the grandstand. So you've got someone with such talent also being able to share that special occasion with them. She might not be a player, but, you know, it's super exciting to see the support behind the Manosina girls. And I think, like you said, Sam, they're just going to continue to build from that. And I think when you're able to put points on a team like England, it gives you the confidence to be able to do it against other teams as well. So they'll definitely build on from that. But in other news, over at the Rugby World Cup, Fiji unfortunately went down as well to Scotland. It was a close match, but unfortunately not close enough. Scotland ended up winning 29 points to 15. For Fiji, there is a few things that they've got to work on there, particularly around that tightness of the ruck. We've seen it before where it gets a bit loose as the game progresses. So for them, looking at that tightness and trying to minimize the space that the other team can really go through. But they'll continue to improve, similar to Manosina, and I'm excited to see them continue to grow as the year progresses in the rugby union space.
Yeah, plenty of improvement around their defence, but man, when their attack is on, it is on. That Fijian flair really comes out. So in both games, they've scored some amazing tries. Just hopefully they can now play both sides of the ball and make sure they don't leak as many points. But with the Fijiana girls, I know they've been dealing with some nasty comments from home. You know, they're trying their best out there. I think what people are failing to realise as well is the fact that they're not full-time. They're given everything with their preparation. They don't have the same resources as everyone else. So when you see stuff like that, Shelley, yeah, how does that make you feel knowing that there's still those comments out there, even though the game is progressing, that we've still got a long way to go?
Oh, it's a tough one, and particularly as a player myself and having experienced something similar to what the Fiji girls are experiencing at the moment, it's a tough one because, you know, as a player, you're doing everything in your power to represent your country with pride, and they definitely do that. They step onto the field and they give it their all for that whole time that the game's on, and it's disappointing because sometimes the people that comment don't necessarily understand the amount of a time that players actually give up and the amount of financial impact that comes with giving up that time. And the family sacrifices that they make to be at this World Cup. So there's a lot of things that they do to be here. And I think whilst the scoreboard doesn't reflect winning, it reflects winning in a way of they've sacrificed so much and they've won as a person to be able to represent their country. And for them, that's the greatest thing that they'll ever achieve because representing your country is so special. As you both would know, it's an honour to pull on a jersey and represent your home country.
Yeah, and most of those people that have their opinions are usually doing it from the lounge or...
Never played, you know, before.
Not, I've got always live by that saying, lions don't concern themselves with the opinions of sheep or listen to the opinions of sheep. So
nice, T. I like that. I want to steal that one. Thank you. That's mine.
I like that, T. And if there are any Fiji players listening to this, I hope you know that all of us here on today and everyone listening, they're here for a reason. They love hearing how well you're doing over there in the World Cup, and we love seeing you make your country proud, not only your country, but all of the Pacific Islands, because when you win, everyone in the Pacific Islands wins as well.
Wise words, Shelley. Very well said there, and big blood. Thank you, True. Yeah, you like that? Yeah, see that? I've come back with some lingo, Shelley. I reckon I've got you covered compared to your lessons.
Oh,
how did I sound there? Big blood, thank you, True.
Well, I think you know, got to give it more passion, but we'll get there eventually.
Shelley, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it, and we'll check in with you next week.
Thanks so much, guys.
Hello, guys. It's Cassie Staples here from the Cronulla Sharks team, and you're listening to Nation Footy.
Well, Sammy, today we have a very special guest, and I know you just come back from PNG. But this lady, she is one of the best rugby league PNG players that we've seen in a long time. Now, she grew up in Tully in far north Queensland. She has Papua New Guinea and Torres Strait Island heritage. She's played 10 times for PNG, including at the 2022 World Cup, and 2 times for the Indigenous All-Stars. She played for the Cowboys the past 3 seasons, including every game this season so far. We're honored to have her on our show, and I'd like to welcome SA Banu. SA, thank you very much for joining us on Nijan Footy.
Thanks for having me.
Did you like that intro?
Yeah, pretty good.
Well, I spoke to a friend of mine who runs Nija Daily, and his name's Jacob, and they're based up at Queensland. And when I said that we got SA Banu on, he automatically, like straight away, he said, oh, she's from Tully in North Queensland. Can you tell us about Tully and whereabouts in North Queensland that is?
Yeah, Tully is pretty much smack bang in the middle of the main town, Cairns. Yeah, it's just a small town surrounded by sugarcane, banana farms, just a little town.
And what about the PNG community up there, or Pacific Island community? Is there much of that happening in Tully?
There's not much. I guess there is like a mixture of islanders and Polynesians up there, but not compared to like Brisbane and like elsewhere. But yeah, we do have a few up there.
And tell us about your upbringing in Tully. What was that like?
Yeah, it was pretty good. I reckon I had a good childhood. We didn't have phones or anything back then, so all we had to do was just play outside pretty much, just go on the farm. My dad used to take us fishing, spear fishing in the creeks. There's always footy on the weekend, so we'd go down and watch my brothers play footy. I was a bit scared to play because no other girls played, so I just played netball.
Tell us a bit about where you're from, your background, Papua New Guinea and Torres Strait Island, whereabouts. You know, what villages is your family from?
Yeah, so both of my mum and dad are PNG, but from my mum's side, she's from a little village near Port Moresby called Tatuna Village. We also have connection to Keramo as well. With my dad's side, his dad's from West Papua, former Torres Strait side. I'm from Badu Island, Wakai tribe, and from Boyu, the Migibuwa tribe as well.
How often would you have headed back to PNG?
Probably when I was just a baby, my mum would bring one of us kids up, or only little, to the family, but I've only been back once. I've played for PNG Orchids back in 23 or 4, and yeah, experienced it proper as an adult.
Oh, was that your first time back since you were a child, that 2023 yes. PAC Champs campaign?
Yes.
Oh, what was that? Yeah. What was that like for yourself?
Yeah, it was a big eye opener as well. Mad crazy about footy, especially like when there's a full house, and just an eye opener on how everyone lives up there as well. We're just grateful for where we are now in Australia, and I guess when we just go back, just giving back to the communities. Like when we go and do like the clinics for the little kids, it's always a highlight of my trip up there.
That's awesome. We'll actually get back to that, but I want to take you right back to when you first started playing rugby league. Where did that all begin for you?
It was probably when I first started in high school, just playing for the school team there. And eventually we had a club team for the under 16s, 17s, and then from there just played in the open side for the Tully Tigers and the Innisfail left side.
We believe that you posted a highlights video on YouTube for you to be recognised. Can you confirm that's how you were spotted?
Yeah, I think
it went viral. 4 million views, apparently.
Yeah, that was when I played in high school. I made like a rep side, and then played down Brisbane. And yeah, I just put on my little edit. I didn't think it'd go viral or anything. I think it ended up in the US or something. Like, and then I had teams like messaging me. I'm like, I was probably like 17, and I just didn't know how to reply to them. I was like, I don't know
what's going on there. And what was it, for those who haven't watched it, what was in that clip that really stood out?
I don't know, probably, yeah, just running hard, I guess.
Running over people, like, fair enough, running over people.
I just don't know. Watching back at that video, I seen like some of the girls who are actually in my Cowboy side, they played in some of the teams.
How good. And what was it like when, you know, you decided that you wanted to chase your rugby league dreams? What was the response from your family? You mentioned your brother. Your brothers played rugby league as well. How did they respond to you chasing your rugby league dreams?
It was a bit nerve-wracking because at the time I was just living with my granddad and my little brother. So the next step of moving down to Brisbane, I was just a bit scared just leaving them on their own sort of thing. But my granddad said, yeah, just go for it, see how you go, and just, yeah, it's very, very supportive of me going down and just chasing the dream as well, which all paid off.
And what was that journey like when you, you know, had to leave your family? Like you mentioned that you would have spent a lot of time at Tully with your family, being a small village. What was that like when you had to make the journey to Brisbane and on your own?
It was just a bit nerve-wracking. I was a bit scared, but I was like, oh, I have to, like, do something to get out of Tully. Tully is always going to be there, and I just had to go out and experience it for myself. But, yeah, it was definitely took a lot of courage to do that. But, yeah.
It does. It absolutely does. You know, we've all been in that situation where we've had to go and chase something and you have to get out of your comfort zone in order to achieve it. But when you think of some of those fears, what were some of the biggest fears that you had around moving out of home for the first time?
Main thing was just having a place to stay. I was lucky enough that one of our mates who I played with in footy, his dad offered me a place at his house because he was part of the Wynnum side as well. So they were a big help of getting me to training and all that, just organising transport to training or even to work. Like, that was another reason as well. Work. I had to find work down there, but eventually found a job at this milk factory. Paid good money than the jobs in Tully, but those were the main reasons as well.
Playing for the Cowboys and getting that contract, what did that mean to you that you get to now tell your parents that I'm now playing NRLW and playing on the big stage, and then obviously you're going to go on and represent the Orchids as well, but what did that mean to you that all those sacrifices have now paid off and then you're doing something that you love?
Yeah, no, it was such a proud moment for my family, especially with my dad. He fortunately passed away when I was 15, but he was a mad cow supporter, same as my granddad. And we just grew up watching the Cowboys. I think one of our highlights was just watching them win the 2015 Premiership. So that was one big highlight that I'll never forget. But just to say that I've made it and that I've debuted and is part of the Cowboys club. It's just such an honour to be a part of.
And you've been there from the start and now about to go and play in the finals in a couple of weeks' time, which we'll get to very shortly, but you get to represent PNG at the World Cup in England. Now, from a girl that was brought up in a small town called Tully, now travelling across the world to represent your background, your heritage, your bloodline, what was that moment like?
It was such a proud moment. To be fair, I haven't heard of PNG Orchids until I seen one of Elsie Albert's highlight. I was like, oh, they've got a PNG, like a national PNG side. But, yeah, it was such a cool moment just to put on the PNG jumper and represent the nation as well. It was such a proud moment from both of my parents' side.
Well, you mentioned Elsie Albert. How much of an influence has she had on you?
Yeah, she's just such a humble person. Like, just listening to her story and her growth and her rugby league journey. It's just such an amazing role model to all of us girls in PNG, especially when we came into camps like PAC Champs or PMs. Her leadership on and off the field is something that I look up to.
You mentioned earlier that campaign in the Pacific Champs in 2023 where you got to go back to Papua New Guinea. Now, did you feel some kind of connection back to your family and back to your roots when you did go back and represent the Orchids on the homeland?
One of the coaching staff, Kathy, she actually drove me over to my village at Tatuna. And, that was such a cool moment. I went and saw my family from my mum's side as well. And they just showed me around and they gave me like some billums and stuff. And I just went and bought like some lollies for the kids and stuff who were around us. It was cool to see where my mum grew up.
What was going through your head in that moment when you just walking around, not only just as going back to see family, but you are representing your country in rugby league where it is a religion, but then you're going back to your family roots as well. What was going through your head, and how were you received there from everyone in the village?
I don't know. It's just a humble experience, I guess. Like, I was just soaking it all in, of like, oh, where my mum grew up and how she grew up and where she would have went, sort of thing. I think I'll probably be like the second person from that village to represent Tatuna for the PNG Walkers. But yeah, it was such a cool, such a proud moment just to represent that Tatuna on the PNG platform as well.
I remember when I came and spoke to the girls, some of the girls actually didn't speak great English because they're, you know, obviously from PNG and they speak Tokpizin. And Elsie Albert, she got to translate some of the language that we spoke. But what I wanted to ask was, like, have you seen, you know, when you go into those camps and you connect with those girls that are from Papua New Guinea, you know, what's that experience like to be able to bring the things that you've learned to Australia, but then bring it in together to give back to some of those girls that are from Papua New Guinea?
I guess, like, for us Aussie-based girls, just our experience from our league, we bring it back to the girls and help them or what they can learn and what they can build on as well on field and just off field, like, just, like, learning, like, the top person language, like, when we get together, like, at dinner time or stuff, we would, like, say a sentence or, like, greet each other, and we always ask the girl, oh, how do you say this or how do you say that, sort of thing, especially with, like, my TR side, like, with broken English and talk person, it's, like, similar, but everything they say is sort of, like, back to front sort of thing. So, but no, it's good. It's a good learning experience.
And on to the Cowboys. Hearing Shelley and how last year wasn't the greatest year, but I remember at the start of the year she had all this hype. And then you just see them, you girls this year, you know, locked yourselves into the finals, the growth over the last few years that you've been there. How satisfying is it for you now, the Cowboys about to play finals footy for the first time?
Yeah, it's such a proud moment. Like, we've put in the work since the first year and we've built on everywhere we can.
Do you think running up Castle Hill was a big part of the reasons why he's been so successful this year?
Yes, in a way. Like, it definitely helped us mentally, especially when we had an army camp that went over 24 hours. I think that built us and broke us, some of us.
That with a woman, a 24-hour army camp.
Yeah, we didn't know that we'd be there overnight, but
wow. So
they released the video, but I think that definitely helped our mentality as well.
Do you know the bad thing about all this, because you're a success off the back of that army camp, guess what you'll be doing next year, because it's sort of working, you'll be doing that again, probably for 48 hours this time, depending on how the season goes.
Yeah, I think I'll be sick that day.
I'd be sick that day, calling sick. Because I heard you talk, I think it was 12 months ago, talk about, like, some of the things you wanted to work on. You wanted to work on your fitness and you wanted to work on your defence. And it seems like both those areas are really paying off, especially some of the hits you've put on. Who was the poor girl that you were beating up in at training to help you with your reps?
No, it's pretty much, I think, all the forwards.
Just everyone, line them up.
yeah, I think defence was one of our key things that we wanted to prove on this year as a team and as a individual as well. So this season we've done, like, a lot of tackling practice, a lot of mat work, a lot of groundwork, and we do have, like, a lot of talented forwards. So the spots were, we sort of have to, like, challenge ourselves. But yeah, had, like, Yarrow, Bards, who were really good at the groundwork. They definitely helped me improve, as well as Tafel. She's, like, the tallest person in our team, and I had to run at her, and then she had to run at me. She folded me, like, yeah, it was crazy. My ribs were hurting after that.
it's like the old saying goes, iron sharpens iron, and the harder you train, then she gets better. The harder she trains, you get better. And it sounds like you have landed in a really good spot for this upcoming final series. Now, final question from me. when you look across all of the NRLW players and all of the international players in the women's space, who's your favourite player?
Oh, there's a few.
Well, you can go top three if you want, if you want to be nice and save
make
yourself.
It easier for her.
Yes. Sumaima would definitely be up there. Elsie and Salah.
Ooh, that's a good three. Sumaima Taufa, Elsie Albert, and Salah Tongatuki. That's
some heavy hitters in there too.
I just want to say a big thank you for joining us and jumping on here. I know you're a busy lady, and I really appreciate hearing your story, and I wish you all the best and the Cowboys all the best. It's me and Sam's second favourite NRL team because I'm a diehard Rooster.
I'm more of a Dogs man.
But Cowboys being our second team.
Because of Shelley.
Because of Shelley and now yourself, and also China Pallada and all the girls that have been here on Asian Footy. I just want to say a big thank you and all the best for the upcoming finals. Go and get it.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys.
Give me three answers for this one.
Ah, we are back, Sammy.
The competition is back.
Yes, let's
here we
bring
go.
It to life.
What's the score?
The score is, that can't be right.
Yes, I'm still in front.
No, that hasn't been changed yet. Is it right? 29 to 27?
Mate, it's on the run sheet, mate. It has to be right.
Oh, you know why it's right?
Why?
Because you actually have to ask me the questions for the next
two weeks.
This week and next week. So this is our game of categories. 3 points up for grabs each week. And the loser has to shout the other host and their partner a spa day dinner that works. Sammy's got lead. And it is his turn for this week and next to ask me his give me three questions.
So 2 weeks in a row I'll be asking the questions.
Correct.
For you to catch up. So
you've had a lot of time to think about this one over in PNG, the flights, the hotel time. You know, the
I had no time. No time because I was busy working the whole time. So
you were actually back last Thursday too. So
whole
weekend.
Oh my goodness.
And to top things off, I actually sent you a message last night saying you're up for give me three.
Yeah, so. And I still forgot. This is what I came up with in the elevator on the way up here when you reminded me. But this is a good one. This is a really good one.
I'm sure it is a good one.
Because we've been talking about minor premierships, right?
Yes.
In the competition. What's your knowledge around minor premierships?
Nothing.
Nothing? Beautiful. So hopefully you get none. From three here, I want you to name the clubs in order to have won the most minor premierships in the NRL. Must be in order.
In order.
Give me three.
So if I miss one, two, and three, how does that work?
I'll let you have a go in order, and then if you get nothing, then we can reassess. See how good
I am.
Well,
you have to go Foundation Club for one.
See, you're already on that,
Sydney Roosters.
Bang, that's number one. 20. See? What are you complaining about, T?
Another Foundation Club would be the Rabbitohs, but I just don't know if they won many. Or the Dragons. They were pretty successful. Or the Raiders when they won heaps. See what I mean?
I see what you mean.
So I'll go South Sydney too.
Ding, ding, ding. Yes, that's in order. See, you're in order.
Is it 1-2?
That's 1-2. So Roosters 20, Rabbitohs 17.
Okay. I'm happy with 2.
Oh, so now you're happy.
Third one.
Oh, now you're happy.
That was like I was literally guessing.
And I had to pick your bottom lip up from the floor just beforehand because you were having a
or
sulk.
Dragons? I'm going to go the Raiders.
Should have stuck with the Dragons.
The Dragons.
Yes, they won 15.
Damn,
so it was Roosters 20, Rabbitohs 17, Dragons 15, minor premierships, and you got 2 points out of that. 2 out of 3. The tears have dried up.
29 all.
So that's 29 all, T. Look how happy you are. Goodness, don't ever complain again about my questions that I come up with in the elevator, but that's our time up. Tell your footy-loving friends about Nisian Footy. Find it wherever you get your podcasts or on the ABC Pacific website. And we'll hopuate malo apito, my friend. Hopefully we can get you back for the trio at some points.
Ka kite. This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.
In the Fale is a music show on ABC Radio Australia, hosted by me, Paola Tukefu. I'll be spinning my favourite tunes from dancehall to disco, calypso to country, reggae to roots, and hip-hop to house music, from across the era to keep the kids and the aunties happy. If it has a pumping groove, I'll be bringing it to you to bump you into the weekend.
Search up In The Fale to listen online or find it in the ABC Listen app.